to thee, our Lord, ascend. Alleluia, alleluia.
Hear now the words of our Lord recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, as he instructs his disciples. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you get an opportunity to be a parent someday, those of you that are not yet parents, one parenting bit of advice that was passed on to me years ago: should you and your spouse ever decide to go out for a movie or go out to eat and you're going to get a babysitter, one bit of advice is this: to make sure in front of your children to pass on the authority to that 15-year-old babysitter, so that the children realize and understand the connection between you and this now young lady or man that's going to be babysitting them, that they realize that there is a flow and a chain of authority, so that the child respects the authority of that young person. And that's very important for them. Ultimately, the purpose of that chain of command and of authority is for the child's benefit and for the child's good. And yet they need to understand and recognize how this all flows and fits together. Use that, if you will, as a little picture in our mind today of how our Lord Jesus is addressing his disciples. For the members of his church, ultimately for us, Christ has established a loving chain of authority. You can see the doctrine of the Holy Trinity displayed so beautifully in our text for today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit spoken of interacting with each other. Everything that God the Father has and all of the authority that he has and that he possesses has been given to his Son. And the Son now, in turn, who possesses that authority and has the right and the power and the authority to dispense that and anything he wants of that into the earth, that Son now is going to be ascending to the Father and leaves it with the Holy Spirit, who, as he is speaking to our apostles, is going to be coming in a very unique way for them. And that Holy Spirit will then guide these disciples into all truth, so that that truth of God can be dispensed to the world. So this ultimately is for us. This is for our benefit and our care, that our Lord Jesus recognizes and wants us to understand the flow of the chain of command from the Father to him and the Spirit, to the apostles, to their word that they would write down in the Scriptures, and ultimately to us. This line of authority is for our benefit. The Holy Spirit does not come along and represent some new doctrine, doesn't represent some new angle to things or some new teaching. He is simply taking what Christ has done and established and bringing that now to the church. There is one continuous flow of belief, truth, teaching, doctrine, one continuous flow of care that comes from God the Father through all of this chain of command right down to us, his people. Now, we get the sense from our Lord's words that for the apostles themselves, for his disciples here who he's addressing in this text, there appears to be an immaturity in their present faith. There are certain things at this moment in time that they could not yet comprehend and understand. Our Lord had not yet, by the time he spoke this, had not yet gone to the cross and risen from the dead. And so he says to them, you cannot bear these things now. A time would come when they could, but for right now they could not. It's interesting, even in the book of Acts, as our Lord is about to ascend into heaven in Acts chapter 1, If you read there, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, planning to ascend, they still are asking questions of him that you can tell they haven't fully comprehended and understood everything. And yet following the day of Pentecost that would come not long after that, and the Holy Spirit instructing them through the word that they would write, they ultimately would be guided to know all truth. Now, sometimes this is puzzling for us as Christians today. If you're like me, you probably think to yourself, wouldn't it be better for Jesus to have stayed on the earth and have convinced people in our day and age, right here today, that he still exists and that he's around and that he's alive? Wouldn't that have been a much better way for the church to go about its business? Just think how easy it would be if he could be here today and we could announce it in the free press and on the news that Christ was going to come and speak today. Wouldn't that be better for both us and anybody else who should be convinced to become a Christian? Well, our Lord Jesus says, no. It is to our advantage for him not to be here. That's puzzling to us. But it's to our advantage for him not to be here in that way. Listen to what Dr. Paul Kretzmann writes. We Christians from the present time have more benefit from the work of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, than the disciples had of the personal visible presence of the Lord when he dwelt among them in the form of a servant. Now, what this should highlight for us is just how significant the means of grace are. That Jesus establishing that as the way he's going to come to his church, that he would point us to that and say, that is better for you than if I was here in person, the way he was when he was here for his earthly ministry. Now, that just puzzles us. But this is our Lord's instruction. It is better for us. It is better for his church to have his authority come to us through the Holy Spirit, through the writings of the apostles, than for Christ himself to be here visibly in our midst. You and I are at the end of this chain of authority. This is all really about us, the ones who would be reached by the writings of these apostles. And notice the high regard that our Lord Jesus puts on his word that would be delivered through the writings of these apostles. A friend of mine who was a pastor years ago, an older pastor, told me that his little mission congregation was in the process of renting another church of a nearby congregation that happened to be of a charismatic nature, that felt that God the Holy Spirit could just come in any way. It didn't have to come through his word. And one day he came into the sanctuary that they were renting from this church, and it was empty. It was on a day off from church. And as he came walking in, he saw up on the altar, there was a man lying on the altar on his back, looked like a dead body. And he slowly crept up the steps to the altar and got up and looked at the man's face, and here he was awake. And he sat up, and my friend said to him, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yep, I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit." When God tells us to look for how he's going to come to us, it is not through some emotional feeling. It's not through something spectacular. Could God come to us that way? Well, of course, he can do anything he wants. He's God. But that's not where he's told us to look. He doesn't tell us to look for some experience that we have and some feeling inside of ourselves. Because how could we know whether it's from him or the devil or last night's burrito? We don't know. That's not how the Holy Spirit has told us that he will come and operate. Instead, he tells us to seek him in his word, in his holy word. Jesus says to you and me, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And it's in that word of truth that God gives us the truth about ourselves. The Holy Spirit has been sent into this world through the Scriptures to teach us the truth about our condition, that not a single person in the sanctuary has lived a life worthy of being led into heaven. And yet the greater truth that God in his Son has made atonement for all of our sins, and by faith in what Christ has done alone for us, we will someday walk through the gates of paradise into heaven. That is the truth that God wants us to know. So ultimately, this chain of command for us, where Christ connects us back to his word, is for our benefit and for our good. And it's ultimately for us to get to enjoy heaven. Today, I ask you to take out your hymn book and turn to page 58. Page 58 in the front part of the hymn book. And you will find two collects or prayers that are often used near the end of the service. We often refer to them as the collect of the word. There's one in the middle, number 2, and one in the bottom, number 3. Let's use both of them together. Please rise as we pray these together. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the head cornerstone. Grant that we may be joined together in unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we may be a holy temple acceptable unto you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your great mercy you have given us your holy and blessed word, by which you also among us gather your Christian church. We humbly entreat you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we receive your word with thankful hearts and live according to it, and ever increase in Christian faith and hope and love, and at last obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.